This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me is my co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae. Good morning. Well, good morning.
Hi.
Tina Mae. There we go. We lost you. I think you were late getting on because you were still at breakfast, weren't you?
No. Yeah, I had to get that last bite in.
But anyway, we're getting close to the Christmas holiday, and how's your shopping going?
It's going, not done.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. There'll be a lot of last-minute shoppers, I know. And we want to mention that today's show is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store and the Christmas Shop, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store and in the Christmas Shop on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So if you're like Tina Mae, just jump online and go shopping. It's real easy to visit and shop with our sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And Tina Mae, who do we have on our show today?
Well, today we have Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Bernardo, New Mexico, and talk with Reba Wagner, manager, and Diane Wiltshire, owner of Kiva RV Park and Horse Motel.
All right, so we've got a lot of territory to cover today. It's going to be a great show, so grab a cup of coffee and join us. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Susanna Gibson. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
A joyful sound every Christmas Eve in a western town. Gather up the kids, all the friends and family. The holly's hung, the candles bright, tuning up the fiddles on a moonlit night.
Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree.
There's a jolly man in a bright red suit. Did you ever see Santa in cowboy boots? Whirling across the floor, spurs jingling merrily. When to sing those carols soft and low, I'll be shouting Cotton Eye Joe.
Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree. Wait and meet the mistletoe, you'll never get a kiss. I never move that slow, there's too much I could miss.
Cause a western girl can't be still,
and a silent night is not for me.
Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree.
On new blue jeans, shuffling round the floor to a Yuletide melody.
Well, I'm gonna be ready when Santa comes, but I'm gonna be dancing till he does.
Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree. Wait beneath the mistletoe, you'll never get a kiss. I never move that slow, there's too much I could miss.
Cause a western girl can't be still,
and a silent night is not for me.
Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree. Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree.
That is Belinda Gale and Curly Musgrave with Two Step Around the Christmas Tree. And are you in a Christmas spirit out there in California, Susanna?
Oh, boy, I sure am. We've been having rain for the first time in like a decade. And it reminds me of something I read the other morning, that true faith is walking to church to pray for rain and carrying an umbrella with you. And so
well,
the skies have finally opened up, but it's
still sunshiny, still cold, and just to brag a little bit, my Christmas shopping was all done on December 1st, and everything is wrapped and put in the...
Aren't
I bad?
Oh, gosh.
I shop all year long. I just, I have my list of my friends and family, and all year long I listen to, you know, what they say they like, or I find some goofy gift. I brought my brother clear duct tape, brand new thing that just came out, and I went, yeah, he really likes clear duct tape.
Wow.
So by the time Christmas comes, you know, a week or two before, I already have everything for everybody, and I don't spend that much money, but I just can't stand that last minute rush, which you guys are going to be into. Although it's kind of fun too. It's kind of fun to get out there in the Christmas mall and everything.
Oh, it gets your adrenaline.
No, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah, I guess I'm too boring.
No, not at all. Hey, let me ask you a question.
I shop all year long.
That's the smart way to do it, really. But let me ask you. I mean, we're coming into the holidays. Do you have a Christmas tradition or any favorite Christmas memories? You know, a lot of times we kind of reflect back at this time of the year about when we were kids or some other time in our life that it was a special memory. What about you, Susanna?
You know, it's all about family. I have was really, really blessed with five siblings all together, and my mom and dad, who were married for 49 years before my dad passed, and just those little things of the Christmas Eve buffet before you head off to go to the midnight service, and getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and everything is the same. And what I think for me, it's so funny because I'm going over to my brother's house, and all of his adult children and his grandchildren are getting up at 6 o'clock. They all come over the night before, spend the night at his house, and they get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Open presents, and then eat a breakfast, and then everybody takes a nap, and then there's always something. Sometimes we go out on my sister's ranch and shoot, do target shooting or skeet shooting or whatever. But it wasn't going out to dinner and a lot of other fancy things. It was just staying as tight as we could be as a family and just sitting in front of the fireplace and laughing and mostly just laughing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really what's special. It's not the gifts; it's spending time with family, and those are the memories that we have. You know, I think there are probably very few people that remember a Christmas gift. I think I remember my first bicycle. That was a Christmas, you know. But it's really the family time that.
I guess the Saturday after Thanksgiving, it was always a family tradition with my family until everybody grew up, that was when we went out, drove out into the forest and cut down our own Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And so my sister, who lives up in Oregon, passes that along, even though she'll kill me. She's 50 years old. grown kids whatever, but by golly, they headed out that Saturday morning, and she showed me pictures, and on that particular day, from the time they started until the time they headed home, 6 inches of snow had fallen, and they couldn't get the trucks out, and it's just hiking through, that's one of the things I remember, is just hiking through, and my dad would go, of course, my dad wanted the first tree right next to the road.
Right.
For obvious reasons, because he had to cut it down and carry it. But then we'd go, nah, Dad, that's not the right one. And we'd always end up just hiking. And then always the one we wanted was the top of a tall one. So he'd find ways to shimmy up there and cut it down for us. And so that's what Rebecca and her family still do. But the fact that it was 6 inches of snow just while they were doing it and buried up to their knees and just had a great time. So... those are the things that I remember.
Yeah, well, those are special memories. What about you, Tina May? I don't think we've talked about that with you.
No, we haven't. And, of course, naturally, it is family time. And, you know, nowadays, Christmas is so different. I really miss that connection, you know, having all the family together and aunts and uncles and grandmas, grandpas, I mean, everybody, cousins and nieces and nephews and just everybody. And we've all moved apart. And so it isn't like that as much anymore. And so that's kind of a sad part. But one of the memories, and it's funny because this isn't technically what Christmas is about, but I always try to figure things out. That's just my nature. And when we would always go to midnight service at night, and I'm pretty sure that my parents was guaranteeing on us kids falling asleep in the night service. And then when we'd wake up and then come home, Santa has miraculously come to the house, and we knew it couldn't be our parents because they were with us at church.
That was
one of those magical type moments.
Magical times.
Yes, and it was just really neat because I could never figure it out. And anyway, naturally, that was kind of neat. But I also, you know, that's one reason, and I don't want to go into this, but, you know, Christmas time is really hard for a lot of people because, you know, you lose your loved ones and everything, and it seems like the holidays is when we think about that because we miss the family that we love so much, and it's always a family time to gather around. But, you know, we're never alone, and it's something that Christmas, I believe, is something that's in the heart, and we've got to remember the reason for the season.
Yeah. Well,
and that's, you know what? One of the best things you can do is, Pastor said this in church, is find one person who is single or widowed or whatever that you know and invite them to your home or for Thanksgiving or for Christmas and start a tradition of having them come and be part of your family. And my younger sister, did that with a fellow that had gone through a divorce. He was in his 20s and had a daughter. And now he's at every wedding, everything we have, and we're his family. I mean, we're his, you just never go if Jason isn't there. And he's now probably 32, 35 years old. So that's what I think is to reach out and invite people, because they always feel like they're going to be an imposition. Mm-hmm. And I always say, imposition baloney. Can you make a pie? If you can make a pie, you get to come to Thanksgiving. And but that's what I think is special too, is to include people who are alone, because you know they just you know may not have any place to go, and it's can be a blessing both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I think that's great.
Well, I mean, nobody asked, but one of my memories is my dad had the old 5 and 10 cent stores, and he had a couple in Nashville and in my little hometown. And so every year, you know, the small towns, the little towns have kind of had a rough time with the malls and the strip shopping centers in the last few years. But when I was growing up, we had a little bit more snow, it seemed like, during the holidays, and so I can remember some snowy Christmas Eves when we were still open, because we'd be open until 9 or 10 o'clock at night so that the parents could come and pick up their layaways and get back home and put the presents out under the trees. And so it almost felt like we were playing Santa Claus for a whole lot of folks because we were there for them. You know, so we didn't really have a Christmas Eve tradition except for that. But we'd get home, and we looked forward to Christmas morning. And it was such a joyous time because we really appreciated the holidays and the blessings that we had. And so many people that we came in contact with that we saw were happy because they were able to get that little special something for someone. And, I would tell a story about a little girl that my dad helped, but I couldn't make it through it, so I won't do that. But they're just really, really special
memories. But that's the time whatever that was, I just know that it's a special thing. And you can't imagine. I was, when I moved from Arizona here to California to live for a while, I had all these big tubs, just moving tubs. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to give them all to Goodwill, and I had a guy here who was doing some fix-up work for me, and he goes, what are you doing with those? And I said, well, I was just going to give them all to Goodwill. There's like 20 of them. He goes, well, can I have them? I said, sure, what are you going to do with them? And he says, well, my friends, a lot of them don't have furniture, and they'll put their clothes in them, they'll use them for coffee tables. And I just, oh, my heart just went, wow. I mean, you just don't realize how blessed you are and how little it takes to give somebody something that's really special and precious.
Yeah. Well,
time and love.
Yeah, I'm going to try to tell this story. This little girl's family didn't have very much, and they didn't really have a Christmas tree, and she found the top of a tree that somebody had cut out and discarded. And so she dragged her little tree to town, and she came into the store, and she had about a dollar, and she wanted Christmas decorations for her tree. And so she put that dollar up on the counter, and Dad had one of the girls go back and brought her the lights and the icicles and the ornaments and a star for the top of that little tree, and then gave her change back. And we didn't know about that. We didn't know about that until after my dad had died, and she actually wrote a letter, probably 30 years later. About that. That was a special memory. So anyway, we haven't talked at all about Trailblazer, and we're gonna do that when we come back, but we are in the spirit of the season, we're gonna give something away, and we have a drawing every week for a Legacy Club member. So tell us about that, Tina Mae.
Absolutely. The Legacy Club is our thank you for our listeners. It's free, and you are automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes from our sponsors, like our end-of-the-year prize of a 2-horse Hydro Horse system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse. And for today, we are giving away a Lope for Hope hoodie from Pink Horse Incorporated to our lucky Legacy Club winner, Sally Shawman, I hope I pronounced that correct, of Tennessee. Congratulations, Sally.
All right. So if you haven't enrolled in the Legacy Club, go visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. It's free, and you'll be automatically enrolled in our weekly and monthly and year-end drawings, and great discounts from all of our Legacy Club sponsors as well. So, this is kind of a cute song. When I was selecting music for the show today, I was thinking about you, Tina Mae. And when we play this, you'll understand why. But this is a song by the late Curly Musgrave and his grandchildren, Jared and Isaac. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells and stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. Now Christmas cookies are a special treat. The more Grandma bakes, the more I eat. Sometimes I just can't get myself to stop.
Sometimes you eat till you're asleep.
Then taste the ones you didn't eat.
And put some little sprinkly things on top.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells and stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. Now them sprinkly things just make things worse, 'cause they make them taste better than they did at first, and they're absolutely impossible to resist.
And his kids just stand there waiting for the ones
who miss. Oh, I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. Mm-mm. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Grandma's mad when they're all gone before she gets the ice and put on.
Yeah, but I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Jared, how about handing Grandpa one of those big old Christmas tree cookies?
Grandpa, that's mine.
Well, Isaac, give me that Santa Claus cookie with all them sprinkly things on top.
Grandpa, that's mine.
Oh, Kathy, honey.
Curly, just leave those kids and those cookies alone.
Now there's a benefit to all of this that you kids might have overlooked or missed. So let old Gramps tell you just what he's thinking of. You see, every time Grandma puts another batch in the oven, there's 15 minutes for some kissing and a hugging.
Oh,
and that's
Grandma.
Why I eat Christmas cookies all year long. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and velvet stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. Yeah, I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Christmas cookies, the lake. Curly Musgrave, and Susanna, we have this little thing about Tina May and her food, and so when, but that's a cute song. I guess we've all had Christmas cookies, and with a little sprinkly things on the top, so that's pretty cool.
Absolutely, and it's, I don't know what it is about those cookies, because they're just about as plain as they can get. But I just crave them at Christmas time.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Trailblazer, because 2014's been a good year. It's just kind of amazing. This is almost the end of 2014, and we're going to be rolling into 2015 before we can blink twice. And let's talk a little bit about the folks that work with Trailblazer, because it's a special time of year to say thank you to them, but you've got some special writers that do some great articles.
Yeah. Oh, we do. We do. It's so much fun. A lot of magazines, the standard procedure for huge magazines, Vanity Fair and even the bigger horse magazines, is they only have journalists, professional journalists, write, interview people, and then write the story. And that's one way to do it. I find that a little boring. So what I do is I go out and find, or we, or my staff, we go out and find really, really talented people in the horse industry. Could be about how to take care of your horse trailer, how to camp with your horses, how to take care of your senior horses, how to transition to barefoot. Whatever it is, it's people who are actually doing it. They're actually performing that. They're real trainers. They're real farriers. Jamie Jackson, Linda Tellington-Jones, people like that that are well-known. And they all love Trailblazer so much because they say that it's authentic. And I think the reason that it's authentic is because we do have, you know, we do have actual trainers and actual people that connect with the readers, and that's one of the things the readers talk about. And it was funny last night, well, it wasn't funny because I was tired, but we were working on a story with a local person here who's a real top Tellington-Jones practitioner, and we'd done a photo shoot last weekend, and Linda, we were doing a four-way text thing about a few things that needed to be changed in the article. So here we are texting and sending emails back and forth at midnight with Linda Tellington-Jones, who's in Hawaii right now, to get it right. And it's just
right.
So wonderful that it wasn't that we were talking to her PR person or another journalist, that we were really talking directly to her to make sure that we had everything in the article perfect. So that's what I think. And would the writing, the journalism writing in every article be an A+? Could you get an A+ in college? You'd get an A or a B. But that's not what I care about. I care about the content and the authenticity of it, that you're getting it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And
yeah. Well, you have great writers. You know, our good friend and one of your writers is Robert Eversole, and you know, Robert's out there, you know, actually doing it. And
yeah.
So when we're talking with Robert, you know, we're talking about being out in these wilderness areas and how you handle certain situations and how you prepare. So you've done a great job with that. But, you know, it was interesting as you were talking about doing your four-way text. Let's kind of shift over and talk about this digital age that we're in, because it's really changing everything from the way that we receive our news to the way we listen to radio today, to the way we read our magazines. So share a little bit about what's going on with Trailblazer and the digital age.
Boy, it's fun. I resisted it, of course. Trailblazer, as some people have called it, rightfully so, is National Geographic of horse magazines. We print on the real high-quality, heavy, glossy paper. The pictures are to die for. Because trail riding is a you know, a visual smorgasbord of where you're riding and everything. But we found out with the new technology that by the time we finish creating the print version, it's not much more to take that print version and to turn it into an online digital version. It's exactly the same magazine, but you get to read it on your computer, on your iPad, your Kindle, Samsung Galaxy tablets, whatever.
Right.
And you read it just by, you know, touching the corner of a page, and it flips. And some people don't understand, like, well, I don't want to read something on my computer, but I subscribe to all my magazines now online, the ones that I love, and it archives them right there on your laptop or I have an iPad, so you can go back, and instead of having stacks and stacks and stacks of magazines. The other thing that happens is that we add extra things into the digital version, which would be slideshows, charts, movies, videos, interviews, those kinds of things we can embed into the magazine. And when you're reading an article about maybe Sue De Laurentiis doing a great article on taking trips to the trail, we couldn't use all the pictures, so we'll have more pictures or even a video of her showing you how to do things. So it's something of people, you know, they tend to like, oh, I don't want to do that. I like the feel of paper. Well, we still print the digital version, but paper and postage is expensive, and the prices, you know, the price of that is going up. We've kept the same rate for the last 5 years, and we just can't do it. Our expenses have almost doubled.
Right.
And so digital is half the price. But I think it's really fun, and it's just as beautiful, just as bright. If you've got a, you know, high def, whatever you've got, you know, it's high resolution, which almost all computers and tablets are.
Right.
The other cool thing about it is that you can increase the size for people who might have bad eyes. On your own, you can enlarge the size of the type so you can read it easier. And one of the things I like is that every ad in the magazine, if you click on the ad, it's a direct link to their website.
Right, right.
So when you're going through the print magazine, you see something that you like, and you'll eventually go over, but you're more apt to go, oh, I'd like to know what that is. And you click, and boom, it takes you to their website. And so you can see every single, you know, what we have like 80 ads, 80 to 100 ads in every issue. And so you can click on it and go right to their website, which makes it really cool. And a lot of times they have specials. If you click through, it goes through a certain thing. It's like, Trailblazer, you get 10% off of your, you know, an order today, something like that.
Right.
But it's nothing to be afraid of, as long as you know, if you're online and you're on Facebook and you're on Twitter and all those different things, then you can do online digital. It's just a piece of cake to do. And it's done through Apple. We have an app, just like you have an app.
Right.
And you look up the app for Trailblazer Magazine. The app is free, but then once, of course, you get the app, then you pay them, I think it might even be $14.99, so less than half price. And then you automatically get to see the first issue. You can buy back issues and all of that. So anybody that wants to investigate that or give it as a gift for Christmas or just try it out for $14.99, you can't go wrong. See what you like, because you get the issue first before the print issue, because you don't have to go through the mail.
Right.
But I love it. I have just fallen in love with National Geographic, Cooking Light magazine, all my favorite magazines, and I love reading them. And they say, oh, it's too small. I would agree if it was an iPhone. I don't think I'd want to read a magazine on an iPhone. But on a regular computer, laptop, or, iPad, any of the larger ones. Have you subscribed to any magazines? Have you had any experience with...
I have, and when you were talking about magazines stacking up, I mean, I've got some stacks of back issues of some magazines that are probably 2 or 3 feet high, and where do you put these things? You don't really want to get rid of it, and then quite frankly, when I think about a subscription for another magazine, I think, golly, I'm going to start accumulating these things again,
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like the digital media for that, and plus the fact that you can get your video as well as the audio that way. So it's really, how long do you think, Susanna, before most publications will actually go to digital and do away with print?
If I could tell you the absolute truth, most of them would do it in a New York minute.
Yeah.
Because of the cost is so huge for printing and for postage these days that it's hard. I mean, that's why you see so many of the bigger magazines going out of business. I mean, 50%, I think I heard something like 40 or 50% of print magazines have gone out of business in the last 5 years. And it's because they just can't keep up, with it. And we're lucky. We have a small staff, and we have the perfect model for business, which is underpaid and overworked. and that's what we all are, because we have such a passion for what we do that we'll even be up at midnight, deciding on pictures and, oh, you need to reshoot this and whatever. But most all of them are... I don't know about the horse magazine world, but I know almost all of the larger magazines have opened themselves up to digital. I don't know what percentage, are doing it, but it helps them stay in business, I think, because they just, I think National Graphic especially is one that people, they love to keep. They love the pictures, but I put it on my iPad. And so when they had the article on cheetahs, you clicked on a button and you got a slow-mo 4-minute video of a cheetah running at like 120 miles an hour. I can't tell you how many times I've watched that.
it's pretty amazing. I mean, I remember when I was a youngster, I'd go to the doctor's office or the dentist office, and you'd sit around and there'd be magazines on the table. And I took my mother to the doctor a couple of weeks ago, and as I was sitting around, I looked around, and everybody was on their iPhone. Nobody was picking up a magazine.
Yeah.
So they were all, on their electronic media. And one of the cool things about our radio program is that it's online. It's heard all around the world. We now have our mobile app that's free, and they can download that from our website and listen to us anywhere in the world, and they can go back and listen to any of the shows. And
yeah.
So it's archived.
See, that's the cool part. And I have your app, by the way.
I do go back
and listen, because you can listen to it and go back and say, oh, you know what, in my case, there was an article on, how to deal with, I'm trying to think of it, something, sore back on a horse or a ring bone or something, and you just go back to your library and you know, go back to the issues and bingo, there they are. And you can, depending on the memory storage on your the computer that you have, you can store, you know, I don't know how many years worth you could store on there, and always, always have it with you, so that no matter where you go, if you're on the plane, in the doctor's office, you can open up and read your Trailblazer and look at the gorgeous pictures of, you know, we have a series called Trail Diaries, where people document their trail rides, where they go, and the pictures are just heart lifting to see these gorgeous, gorgeous pictures, and so, you know, they're, of course, in my humble opinion, out of the 92 pages every month, there's not a page on there that isn't just spectacular to look at.
Right. Well, let me ask, what is ahead in 2015 for Trailblazer? Anything new or exciting that you can reveal?
Yeah, lots of new and exciting. I've always, every year, it's I want to be different. And again, I look at other magazines just to see what they do different, but I don't want to be like anybody else. I want to be just like us. But
right.
We really change every year, the way that we look, the things that we bring in. So one of the things I think is interesting, for me it's interesting, is that so most magazines sit down with a staff of, you know, 10 people around a big conference table for at least a month and, you know, figure out their editorial for the next year, and we just went through that process, and it was two people on a FaceTime, Bobby Joe Weber and myself, that we just know our market. We know trail riding. We're both trail riders for 40 years of our life, and so we're bringing in new people, new ideas. We have more and more reader participation. We ask questions on Facebook, really fun questions. And we ask them on Facebook, and then we reprint them in the magazine. We'll do, if we know that an article is coming up on Winter Care of Your Horse, we'll ask readers to give their input, and then we put that in the magazine. And we have a lot of, I mean, I really believe, I believe I can say this truthfully, that Trailblazer has evolved into the best horse healthcare magazine in all the magazines in the industry. There were some that were just awesome, but they just have kind of gotten away from that. But we have the newest stuff. I mean, we've been, our readers, our Saddle Fit series, nobody could even touch what we do because, again, we go right to the saddle makers, right to the people that are doing the saddle fitting in the clinics, and it's their words. And the same thing with, you know, going to barefoot. I mean, Jamie Jackson is just amazing on his perception about how to take care of your horses in a natural way. One of the questions, actually, that we have out there right now that I wish was a way I could get your readers on our Facebook page, it's like, what do you do to spoil your horse? What's name one single thing that you like to do to spoil your horse? And because we have our special edition in January as our senior care edition. We have, I think, 20 authors, 20 different subjects. And, whatever it is, it comes up to 100 tips.
Wow.
Exactly 100 tips in every range of thing that you can imagine. And so we're trying to find a last category because we had 90, and we thought, well, what other category? And I said, what do you do to spoil your senior horse? And so that's going to be a fun one to bring in. But we just give, I mean, we have a lot of new columns, although the ones we have. But I seek out, if I have a talent, I don't have a lot of talents. I'm a pretty good cook. but if I have a talent, it's to see people who may not be the main stars on the stage at big shows and rodeos and trade shows and things like that, but people who really, really know what they're talking about. They really they connect with readers, they connect with horse people, they're able to give you information that's will make a huge difference in how you care for your horse and write about it in a way that you can understand And so that's my talent. So we have found, it's not that Trailblazer makes them great. They're already great. Trailblazer just gives them a place to voice. So we have some new people that we're bringing in for this next year that are going to be running columns with us. I mean, did you know in your pasture that the grass under a tree has less sugar in it than grass out in the sun?
I did not know that.
Well, there you go.
There I go.
So,
well, you know, we're looking forward to 2015 with you sharing everything new and exciting about Trailblazer. And again, we never have enough time to talk with you. We're going to just one show. We're just going to talk with you. We won't schedule anything else.
Oh, bless your heart.
We're going to spend time talking with you.
I'll come up with some really fun trail riding stories.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe even bring one of your writers to come join the show with you sometime. So that'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Oh,
yeah,
gosh, that
we'll
would
have
be wonderful.
To do that.
I can think of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, good people. We're happy. We get along. We don't have agendas, but what we care passionately about is taking good care of the riders and taking good care of the horses and making it fun and safe for everybody, but written in really fun ways so that it's fun to read and great pictures.
Well, we look forward to following Trailblazer and talking with you throughout 2015, and they can find the website. It's Trailblazer, is it magazine.us?
Yeah, Trailblazermagazine.us.
Trailblazermagazine.us. Visit them on
right.
Facebook. And, Susanna, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a healthy and happy New Year, my friend. Because
Thank you. Well, just think about me. I'm going to be over at my brother's house at 6 stinking o'clock in the morning with all his grown kids and grandkids, and we're going to be opening presents and drinking hot cocoa. So it doesn't get any better than that. So Merry, Merry Christmas to both of you. It is, you know, all about the birth of Christ, and it's God's love, and it's greatest time, and that's what it's really all about. But it's a sure fun time. Just wish everybody all year long could have the Christmas spirit, you know?
Amen. Yep. Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, listen,
all right.
Merry Christmas, Susanna.
Merry Christmas, and I hope it snows.
All right.
Me too.
Talk with you soon, and happy
talk
New Year.
To you next year.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
We always enjoy talking with Susanna, and we are going to move to another part of the country and visit the high deserts of New Mexico when we come back. We'll be talking with Diane Wiltshire and Reba Wagner. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Michael Martin Murphy's What Child Is This? And we're traveling to one of my favorite parts of the country now, and that is the beautiful state of New Mexico. Diane and Reba, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, gal.
Hi.
Tina's been kind of taking a nap during part of this, so we're going to put her to work here in just a minute. Hey, Diane, tell us a little bit about where you're located in New Mexico.
We are 45 miles south of Albuquerque, right between a little town named Belen and Socorro. We are in a little section of the interstate of I-25 called Bernardo, which is kind of a cutoff to Mount Nail on Highway 60.
Okay, and I know that Tina May has done a lot of research on your facility, and I know she wants to ask quite a bit about your facilities and your riding. So, Tina May?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, hi. I'm glad you girls are on board with us today. Why don't you tell us how Kiva RV Park and Horse Motel came about?
Well, it started out that I was in Atlanta, Georgia, with a hunter jumbo business, and my husband actually was one of my students, and I had to have back surgery, so I had to take a year off, and we decided that we would travel the country. And when we did, we traveled for 18 months. We came back to Atlanta, and we're sitting in the traffic on 285, and I said, let's go west, young man, let's go west. And so that's what we did.
And you made it to New Mexico.
We went as far west as Albuquerque, and this is where we settled. We found this little RV park, which was kind of run down, and we decided we could fix it up. And, of course, I have always been in horses, so we have 7 acres on the side that we put the barn and the pens and the so we do overnight stabling for travelers and then board. And also I take people riding, although we do not rent horses. They all ride their own horses when I take them.
Right. Well, that brings me to your facilities. Why don't you tell us and our listeners about the facilities that you have there?
Okay, let me let Reba tell you all about the RV park and the horse facilities.
Okay.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Reba. Hi, Reba.
How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Tell us what
awesome.
You have to offer there. What kind of facilities do you have?
Okay, with our RV park, we have 35 full hookup, full through sites. Very roomy. We can handle any size rig from large motorhomes to long living quarter horse trailers. They're all pull through, so we can accept any size rig. And from the RV park, the horse people that stay there, they're just a few steps away from their horses in the pens or corrals. We have box stalls and stalls with runs, so we can offer anything that anyone, you know, would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also ride right off the property, ride out our back gate, and ride for hours and hours without having to get off and open another gate.
Oh, that's nice. Pull-through sites are really important. People do look for pull-through sites because, believe it or not, some places they just don't have the size of pad or site for these big trailers. And some of these trailers, they're pretty massive. So that's really
they
neat
sure
that, that you have a lot of pull-through. Yeah. And you do allow the overnighters, correct?
Yes,
as a matter of fact, that you do a lot of that, don't you?
We do a lot of that. We have some long-term renters, and we do get long-term horse folks that do rent an RV site for several months and stay here and, you know, ride their horses out or ride in the several canyons around that Diane can talk to you about. And, you know, we have a laundry on site. We have restrooms and showers for our residents. And our sites are full hookup. So you have water, electric, and sewer. And, you know, we have great weather here, winter and summer. So our summers doesn't get as hot as Arizona. So, you know, it's great riding here year-round pretty much.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Well, that brings me to the trails. Tell us, describe your trails and the terrain. You know, a lot of people, they don't, that's never rode in New Mexico, let us know what kind of terrain that they're dealing with if they decide to travel to your place. And what do you have on the trails, and how many miles of trails do you have?
All right, I'm going to take that over. We have lots and lots of canyons. We can ride out of my place. You can ride barefoot. There is, it's kind of sandy. Most of the trails which are within an hour here, you can ride barefoot on your horses. When it's hot, you can go up into the mountains, which is about 25 minutes away. You can get to a place called Priest Canyon and be in the cool. And if it's cold, you can go 20 minutes south to a place called San Lorenzo Canyon and be in the warm. If it's just, it's very diverse, and it's a wonderful place to ride. Very horse-friendly. New Mexico has been very horse-friendly.
So when we're talking around your place, we're not just talking about flat, desert, sandy ground. You've got hills, and you've got some canyons and things like that. What are some of the best trails and places on the trail that people like to go and see on their horse?
Well, it is, again, it's so diverse. You can go out of my place, you can climb hills that are quite steep, or you can ride, if you don't want to go that advanced, you can just go and ride just over the soft hills. It is, you ride up on top of a mesa. The views are unbelievable. This time of year, you'll see the sandhill cranes and the snow geese coming in. We have a flyway right here at the Rio Grande. We're a mile from the Rio Grande. So we have the migration flyway of all the northern birds that come down,
mm-hmm.
which is very fun to watch. And if you go up into the mountains, you're going to probably need the shoes because it gets a little rockier up there and tougher terrain. So it's you can pretty much have any terrain you want riding within 45 minutes of our place.
Okay, so barefoot or shoes, you have trails for both, and the novice and the intermediate and the more experienced rider, you have trails for everybody, it sounds like.
Absolutely everybody. We can get as tough as you want to get or as easy as you want to get.
Okay. What about water? Do you have any kind of water out there?
Yeah, actually we do. We actually cross water. There's quite a few places that cross water, and also there are stock tanks. And it's amazing to me that you kind of have to teach a horse to drink out of a stock tank, but they learn pretty quick. Mm-hmm. They're out there for 3 or 4 hours.
I guess if they're not used to it, it might be a booger.
Hey, we want to take just a real quick break, and here's a trivia question for you, Diane, or for Reba, either one. Do you know what New Mexico's state song is?
No.
All right. Well, actually, there are a couple of them. The state song is O Fair New Mexico. But the New Mexico state ballad is one that was written by a good friend of ours, Michael Martin Murphy. And so we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk some more with you. But the song is Land of Enchantment. And when we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about why New Mexico is called the Land of Enchantment. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I met a lady in my drifting. I quickly fell under the spell of her loving ways. A rose in the desert, I loved her so. In the land of enchantment, New Mexico, watch the sunset by the Rio Grande. A mission bell rang farewell. She took my hand. She said, come back, amigo. No matter where you go, to the land of enchantment, New Mexico.
Diane, during the break there, you and I were talking just a little bit, and it's a small, small world, and you were telling me about a good friend of ours that was out there, R.W. Hampton, and Matt Luttrell, who came through on his long trail home. Yeah, tell us about that.
They came through. They stayed here for a week. We donated the place to them for a week, and they played. I took them to San Lorenzo Canyon for a great ride. And they played on the obstacle course and just rested for a week before they headed off on to California. They had not had very many days off, and they just needed to rest up their horses. And it was great fun having them.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, R.W. and his wife Lisa, and I think their kids came out. And actually, I think R.W. put on a concert somewhere close by.
I think it was in Socorro,
So he did it.
It was good. In fact, RW's truck broke down. They had to go buy a new truck and kept their horses here for about 5 days.
Well, that's a small world. RW was on the show with Belinda Gale, and we were talking about the fact that they were actually in Albuquerque negotiating on a truck while we were doing the show, and he was in a rental car, and somebody backed into the rental car, but he sat in the rental car and did the show that day from there, and they finally made it home, but goodness gracious, it took them almost 2 weeks to do that. So such a small, small world. But, you know, if people haven't ridden in New Mexico, you've got a desert area, and we posted some pictures of your place on our website and also on the show page, but there's a beautiful view of the mountains in the background. You're riding across the desert, but that desert riding has its own beauty, doesn't it?
Oh, it is so wonderful. The wildlife is unbelievable. I always felt like the desert was dead, but it is so alive with wildflowers and bighorn sheep and elk and mule deer and roadrunners. It is unbelievable the amount of wildlife you see on just a ride, just a two-hour ride.
Well, when you ride across that desert in the spring and you see the cactus blooming, it's just so pretty. And for an old Tennessee boy that is used to what we have back here in the East, to go out to the West, it's quite a change. But so much beauty when you just stop, and you can do that when you're out enjoying the trails. You can take your time and really appreciate the beauty that we have in all parts of the country. But
you sure can. And if you wear red, hummingbirds will actually come right up to you. I've had them actually almost land on me because I've had
a
red shirt on.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
It is just so interesting. I just really have a great time riding. So.
Well, you've got a lot of attractions that are real close to you and a lot of history that's associated with New Mexico. Tell us a little bit about what folks that come and stay at Kiva might be able to enjoy and experience if they want to take off and do an afternoon trip somewhere else or just visit the area.
Okay, I'm going to put Reba on again for that, and I also want to say if they don't ride, we have great shooting. We have a great target range that you're allowed to come and shoot, and I'll put Reba on for all these attractions which are very close to us.
Okay, all right.
Right.
Hello there again.
Hey, Reba.
Well, hello.
Let's start out talking about Albuquerque, and you have a big event that maybe one or two people have heard of that takes place in October. What is that?
Oh, the big Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta.
Yeah.
And that happens the first 2 weeks of October, and, there's hundreds of thousands of people come to that from all over the world. It's a huge event. It's a time when we, you know, the park here gets filled up with folks, and it's just about a week and a half to 2 weeks of a lot of fun. The views from Albuquerque around town, if you don't want to get into all the mix of trying to get into, the Balloon Fiesta Park, you can be anywhere around Albuquerque area and see so many of the balloons. It's just beautiful. But it's a neat time to go and experience a lot of what Albuquerque has to offer, you know, and the surrounding area during the Balloon Fiesta.
One of my favorite places in Albuquerque is Old Town, and I'm sure you've never been there.
Oh, no, we love Old Town. It's just got that feeling of, you know, the, I guess you'd say the Old West. You know, it's a
right.
good place to go and spend the day. And several of our residents here at the park or people that come in maybe for just overnight may end up staying, you know, two or three extra days when we tell them some of the stuff to do in the area. And one of them is you can go right up here to Belen, the little town north of us, catch the Rail Runner train. And if you're a senior, a day trip ticket is like $1 a person. And you can get on the Rail Runner,
wow.
ride it up to Albuquerque, catch the bus, which doesn't, right across from the train station, that doesn't cost anything. It'll drop you off right at Old Town. You can spend the day there, shop, walk around, have lunch, whatever, and then go right back across the street, catch the bus. It'll bring you right back to the train station, and you can come right back home. It's
people
really
can,
a neat day trip.
People can do a little shopping there in Old Town, too, can't they?
Boy, they sure can. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, now, don't you have some old missions, some historic missions that are in the area?
We do. We have the Salinas Pueblo Missions. There's three of those, and they're east of us. And for folks that stay here, it's a good day trip. It's about round trip is about 200 miles altogether, round trip. And, you know, you can go out through there. It takes you through the town of Mountain Air. One of them is north of Mountain Air, one of them is south of Mountain Air, and then one of them is between Mountain Air and us. And it makes a good day trip. You can visit all three, and the ruins are just beautiful. Nice old adobe. You know, it's just a neat area. They have nice little visitor centers, and it's a nice trip, you know, year-round.
Right, right. Well, I recall I lived out in El Paso for a couple of years. I was telling Diane about that yesterday, and used to, I mean, you know, when you're in El Paso, the closest city is Las Cruces to you. And then you go on up into Alamogordo and Cloudcroft and Ruidoso and on up to Albuquerque. And just so much history, the mission trails that people can enjoy. And, you know, I'd really recommend folks, if they want to take their horses and get out and explore some of the West, Kiva is a great place to stay, and then just use that as your base of operations to go out and visit some of these things that maybe you've only read about. And how far are you? I guess you're, what, 2 or 3 hours from, what, Taos?
We're, I think we're about, let's see, from Taos, we're about 4 hours.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's there, and then Santa Fe and the Rail Runner that I was speaking of there in Belen, that train you can also take and go all the way to Santa Fe. And
wow,
we have residents that do that, and they'll maybe book them a motel or a hotel up there overnight and maybe stay 2 or 3 days and then come back, you know. And they use us as kind of a base camp and to explore more of the area. You know, right here from us, we have 3 wildlife refuges. So if folks are interested in hiking or birding, there's the Festival of the Cranes in November. There's so much to do with the, you know, with the wildlife refuges. There's ghost towns. We have a ghost town guide and map. There's several ghost towns. Some of them you might need a four-wheel drive to get to. Several of them you don't. That makes for great day trips. We have the El Camino Real National Historic Trail, and they have a very nice visitor center and museum, which centers on the earliest trade route from Mexico City to New Mexico, and it was a trail of about 1,600 miles. So it's a really nice place to visit. And, you know, you've got the Turquoise Trail, which is a national scenic byway, and that is between Albuquerque and Santa Fe. And that takes you through old gold mining towns, and there's hiking trails, old churches, museums. There's just a lot to do around here that most folks just don't think about.
Right, right. Are you a native of that area?
No, sir. I'm a native of Tennessee.
Well,
well,
how about that? Another Tennessean on here. So, how did you how'd you end up in New Mexico?
Well, a few years ago, my husband and I started. We always camped and hiked and hunted and fished and that kind of thing. And we he had an accident, and so we decided to just take on the lifestyle of full-time RVing. And I became a work camper, and so we've spent, since about 2003, we've spent on the road work camping and full-time RVing, and we ended up here with Diane and Bob back in April of 2012, and we've been here ever since. We love
it. Wow, wow. Well, New Mexico is it's a beautiful state, and maybe my second home one day. So a lot of great history there, and, of course, Kiva is a great place to visit and ride and then just explore the area. And Tina May, you may have some more questions for Diane. I don't want to cut you short on
that.
No,
you covered them. I think you took care of the area attractions and the activities in the area. I guess the main thing we need now is to give our listeners your website so they can look you up.
Okay. Our website is Kiva RV Park and Horse Motel.com. And any events that we have will be posted on our news blog page on there. And folks can subscribe, and when we have anything new posted, pictures of trail rides or special events, anything like that, they can, it will get them, send them an alert.
Okay. Well, you've got
that sounds great. Do you have a Facebook page as well?
Ma'am?
Do you have a Facebook page as well?
That is something that we have. We are going to have one. It's in the works, and it's in the process of being created.
Okay. Well, your website is great. I think it's a great place to go to. You're also in a very good location for stopovers. If people are traveling and they need a place to stop over, it sounds like you've got the ideal spot for that as well. So I highly recommend people to look you up. It's the Kiva RV Park and Horse Motel.com.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we're happy to have folks just coming through overnight with their horses or just traveling through, you know, in their campers. And we can do nightly, weekly, and monthly. We have rates for all of that.
All right. That's great. Okay. That's great. Well, another place for my bucket list, I'm telling you. great place to go and get to visit Albuquerque again and all the historic sites to see in that area. So, Reba, thank you. And Diane, thank you for taking time to join us on the show today. And any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, we just would like to welcome anyone that would like to come and check us out and hope we see some of you and you and Tina, you guys come through and stay with us for a few days, and Diane will take you out on a trail ride.
All right, and we'll have to recruit.
That sounds wonderful.
We'll have to recruit you for a tour guide.
Okay, well, we can do that. We will handle anything you guys want to throw at us.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And again, that's give us the website one more time.
Okay, it's Kiva RV Park and Horse Motel.com.
All right, and just about 45 minutes south of Albuquerque, so a great location and really super people to visit with. So, Reba, thank you so much, and Diane, thank you so much.
We thank
you
for having us on your show. We appreciate it.
All right,
absolutely.
Talk with you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
Merry
and
Christmas
Happy New
to you
Year.
Too.
Feliz Navidad.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Tina May?
Yeah.
I can just imagine you making some Christmas cookies after the show today.
Oh, you bet. You bet. I wish I had some things to crunch right now just for you.
goodness. Well, it's been a fun show. We've enjoyed talking with Diane and Reba out in New Mexico. Always a pleasure to have Susanna join us on the show. And any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I just want to let them know to check out Trailblazer Magazine and check out our Christmas shop and become a Legacy Club member and enjoy all the discounts and free prizes from our sponsors.
Okay, and where are we going to be visiting next week?
Well, next week, it's going to be an interesting show. We have Richard Plonzo. He's with KP Animal Chiropractic. He is an internationally certified animal chiropractor. Then we travel to Jamestown, Tennessee, and talk with Teresa Elam with Saddle Valley Campground.
All right, so from New Mexico back to Tennessee, and that will be the Christmas show for Saddle Up America. So should be a lot of fun, and so we want folks to join us next Tuesday at noon for Saddle Up America. Sunday, we have a special show with Belinda Gale for Blessed Trails. It's going to be a Christmas special with Belinda and friends. So that will be a lot of fun at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, Central Time. So be sure and tune in for that. So it's a Christmas special with Belinda Gale and friends, and that should be a ton of fun. talking with those folks. I think they're going to share some of their Christmas memories and some great Christmas music, and of course the reason for the season we'll be talking about as well. And then this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we are going to Canada, and we'll be visiting with a super young lady up there, Eli Barcy, who will be joining us, and that is this Thursday at noon. And, you know, a week from Thursday is Christmas. So it's this year has gone by. It's just unbelievable that Saddle Up America has been on the air now for close to 4 months. And,
yes, it has.
2015 is going to be a lot of fun. So a lot of great campgrounds and guest ranches that we'll be visiting with knowledgeable guests. So looking forward to 2015. Not that I want to wish away 2014 in a hurry, but it's been a great year so far. And so, Tina May, we'll wish you a good rest of the week. We'll be talking with you soon and look forward to the show on Tuesday. And we want to remind our listeners to visit our website and do a little Christmas shopping in the Christmas shop. Visit the general store and also our Legacy Club sponsors. And you can find them at equestrianlegacy.net. So we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
That you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Well, the snow is softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling, Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Yeah. Nothing like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathering near. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.